This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Dukes and Bell on an Independence Day Friday, or Independence Day weekend. Willie P, Nick Kale in for the guys, and hope you're enjoying yourself. If you are making an early getaway out of town, be safe on the roads, and be sure to keep your apps tuned to 92.9 The Game, whether it's on the FM or also on the radio.com app. Have you gone beer shopping yet? Because I know that, Nick, if you're trying to do that or hit up the package stores, it's getting kind of lean at some of these places, man. You got to get that thing done.
Oh, I made my booze trip yesterday in the afternoon. I got some vodka, got some beer. I am fully stacked for the weekend, Will. Let's go. You can't approach a holiday weekend like a rookie.
Uh-huh. I got one of the last six packs of Hey Man, actually, over at the package store here at Midtown. Of course, Hey Man, the flagship beer of this radio program, Carl and Mike's Hey Man Ale, brought to you by the fine folks at Oconee Brewing. Very happy to be having that. I figure, you know, like I said in my tweet about it, you know, if you're going to be filling in on the holiday for Dukes and Billy, you got to have some Hey Man. We got to figure out a way. And I was talking about this earlier in the week. So, like, do you know how incredibly, like, number one, difficult. Number two, illegal it is to, like, ship beer across state lines. It's a complete pain in the behind to do.
Oh, yeah. I mean, think about this. We're almost 100 years removed from Prohibition, and it's still a difficult task.
It's done. It's dumb. We'll have to, like, meet at, like, the Georgia-Tennessee border or something, and I can, you know, maybe get you some there.
Yeah, we'll do a little handoff, a little RPO action.
Well, the thing is, you'd have to consume it all on the Georgia side of the line. You can't bring it back over the state lines because we want to be sure we're doing things legally. Absolutely.
All right. I'll have my wife drive. I'll shotgun a few Haymans, and then she'll take the trip back to Tennessee.
I think that's a fantastic idea. It is Dukes and Bell, Jahi Whitehead, attorney of the Dallas Forest, back in our Midtown studios. It's time for the NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL!
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by the folks at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. I wondered when we were going to see this, Nick, because the NFL, you know, they fine you for wearing the wrong kind of shoes and socks. Well, there's talk now from ESPN's Dan Graziano, according to the NFL and the NFLPA, there could be fines for off-the-field activities that could lead to the spread of the coronavirus. I'm not surprised by this at all.
No, and as there should be. I saw yesterday on the crawl on one of the ESPN channels, I forget who it was in the NBA, I think it was DeMar DeRozan, but it could be somebody else, and he was basically, and I'm paraphrasing, saying, you know, the 113-page COVID-19 protocol for the bubble is very confusing and hard to understand. And I'm thinking, if you're going to go play in the NFL or you're going to go to the NBA bubble or any of these leagues that are restarting and you don't follow the rules to a T, I'm all for these leagues fining these players. I read a couple of days ago on the PGA Tour that some of the caddies were not adhering to the PGA Tour's protocol, and that's why we've seen cases go up from 0 to 2 to 3 in like 3 weeks on the PGA Tour, because people are not adhering to them. If you don't want to adhere to them, don't go at all.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of, I think, common sense that goes into this. And again, The last thing that I want to make this sound like is that, you know, we have these guys basically jailed for 3 months, and, you know, they go nowhere else but from their rooms to the practice courts to the game courts, and same thing for the football players. But at the same time, again, it's just like, you know, there are certain things that you can do that curtail and curb the spread, like wearing masks and not being in high volume places, and just common sense. And, you know, we talk a lot about in the NBA compromising the bubble. I think the same thing can be said for folks inside the NFL. The Redskins under pressure to change their name amid pressure coming from not only their sponsors but the league as well. Latest statement has come from the folks at Pepsi, who says, we have been in conversations with the NFL and Washington management for a few weeks about this issue. We believe it's time for a change. We're pleased to see the steps the team announced today and look forward to a continued partnership. Also, Roger Goodell has weighed in, saying that he has had conversations with Daniel Snyder about this particular issue, and he looks forward to seeing what the thorough review provides. Here's the thing, Nick. I feel like they've kind of painted themselves into a corner, and I'm not saying that they did the wrong thing by saying this today, but it almost feels like if you're going to say this, that tells me you're changing the name. Like, you wouldn't make this announcement if you didn't have the intention to actually follow through with an action.
I think there's like a 99.9% chance that they do change it, especially when you have, you know, sponsors like FedEx and Nike, you know, saying that they're going to, you know, withdraw from affiliation with the Redskins. And look, when somebody's bottom line is affected, that's usually when change happens. It's not so much with outrage from social media and things like that, when somebody's bottom line revenue is affected. So, again, I think it's a common sense thing. It'd be the first thing Dan Snyder has gotten right. I just saw this from Odd Shark. I don't know if you want to hear some of these names, but
I've seen some of them.
Yeah, what do you think? So I'll rattle off a few. Give me your quick thoughts on these. The leader in the clubhouse to be the new Washington nickname is the Presidents at plus 300.
No.
Okay.
I don't like it. I feel like in these times, a lot of the presidents of the past have, again, right. You think about some of these things that we've been going on across the country. I don't think that one has a good chance.
Washington Generals plus 400.
See, I thought of Washington Generals, but the problem is they get such negative connotation from their association with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Correct. How about the Americans at plus 500?
I think it's a slippery slope there as well.
Capitals at plus 600.
No.
All right, let's take a long shot.
I like Warriors, man. I think Warriors has to be the one because you get the alliteration in there. I think Warriors is kind of the one.
Yeah.
I think that's
the Jeffersons plus 700.
Hard stop, no.
You're moving on up?
No, that's not it.
Arlington's at plus 1,000?
That sounds completely foolish. That's completely foolish. Speaking of whether or not you want to attend a game this year, if you're going to Lambeau Field, the frozen tundra will have to include mask wearing, according to Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy. He says that season ticket holders at Lambeau were told the team is optimistic they will have fans this year, although it's not a sure thing. They will say they will require face coverings. So if you're thinking about this from the standpoint of collecting all the information together that we've had, Nick,
mm-hmm.
The fact that you have to sign a waiver for a lot of these teams, that it seems like that's what's going to happen, and you might have to wear a mask, you'll be dealing with socially distanced guidelines, and I'm sure there might be some situations where the NFL might actually prohibit some certain items being sold, like alcohol. No beer, face mask, and a waiver. Are you still going to an NFL game?
Yeah, I mean, I would, although I still think today, in this day and age, the TV experience at home is much better, especially with the cost of going to some of these stadiums and these games. The beer thing will be interesting because, okay, if you're not going to sell beer in the stadium, that will certainly lead to, you know, less shenanigans, maybe people more cognizant of staying socially distanced. But are you going to be able to eliminate the tailgating outside of the stadium? Because if people want to get a little tipsy, they're going to find a way regardless.
I think they are, number one. And I think, too, that's the thing that I almost fear for the colleges, is I think that the tailgate atmosphere is almost as much a part of the attendance of the game as it is, you know, going inside of the stadium. There's plenty of people who, you know, whether it's in Athens, whether it's in Tuscaloosa, Clemson, any of these other big-time college football programs, where you have people just coming and sitting in the parking lots and watching the game from their tailgates. And I think it's going to be very, very difficult if you want to be a school that tells its fans, "Oh yeah, we're not going to let you do that." So I have some qualms about how enforceable those policies are. A mention of former Falcon has upset the apple cart. Austin Hooper, as you remember, got a very big contract from the Cleveland Browns during this offseason. I would add parenthetically, way overpaid.
Mm-hmm.
And a man who is a tight end for the Cleveland Browns, not named Austin Hooper, has requested a trade. According to ESPN's Adam Schefter, David Njoku, for him and his agent Drew Rosenhaus, they both told the team they would like Njoku traded before training camp. Imagine being forced out by Austin Hooper. That's terrible. You're afraid of Austin Hooper, David? Come on, man.
And what's weird about this is, if you look, you know, last year he only played, I think, a quarter of the season. But his first 2 years, you know, as a rookie, he had 32 catches for 386 yards and four scores.
This is Njoku you're talking about.
Correct. And then in his second year, 56 catches, 639 yards and four touchdowns. So he was kind of going in the right direction. And now I think he sees maybe the writing on the wall with Austin Hooper's arrival. I'm curious to see where he ends up going, because I actually think he's got a lot of talent.
I don't mean to be like the anti-Austin Hooper guy, but you know, your perception about a guy just kind of clouds the way you feel about a guy, because he wasn't always very nice with the media, number one.
Right.
And number two, I thought he was a creation of Matt Ryan. Like, Matt Ryan got him that money. He owes Matt Ryan some money on the side. Be like, "Hey, by the way, thanks for getting me that big second contract, because it was mostly given to you." I don't see him having the kind of success with Baker Mayfield as his quarterback as I did with Matt Ryan. Former NFL wide receiver Chad Johnson has tweeted that Antonio Brown should go to the Texans, which has Deshaun Watson very interested. Do you find this? Do you find some fire to these rumors? I know there was a lot of rumors that he might be going to Tampa to join TB.
Yeah, you know, I don't think the Buccaneers would need him with Evans and Godwin and all those tight ends they have, but Houston would be interesting because they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins because Bill O'Brien's completely over his head as a GM. And then they bring in Brandon Cooks. So you'd have two smaller, undersized, really talented, speedy players. If Bill O'Brien is not this coach's player and he's not a very affable personality, I don't see how he would get along with Antonio Brown. Maybe Watson would. I just don't think Bill O'Brien's the kind of guy that could massage a guy like Brown.
I swear. How is Bill O'Brien still employed?
Because he's won divisions with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah. Well, he's got a good quarterback now.
Well, I know, but like he won the South with, what, T.J. Yates, and I think he had Case Keenum for a year. I mean, he's had some bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously, too. And again, you know, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I do think that some of those decisions, especially the DeAndre Hopkins trade, is separated
Terrible.
From logic. Separated from logic. It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P, Nick Kale in for the guys today. Hope you're enjoying your start to the Independence Day weekend, if it's already started. Trying to keep you entertained over the course of the next couple of hours. Is Matt Ryan the best quarterback in the NFL without a Super Bowl? Nick and I tackle that next. Willie P and Nick Kale in for Dukes and Bell. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell, Willie P, Nick Kale in for the guys. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com, Radio.com app. Nick, you and I were discussing sitcoms the other day just because you and I both kind of split the difference between filling in for Mike this week. And you are a married with children truther, which I find humorous but also somewhat perplexing, because it also means you say you just don't like Seinfeld. You're not a Seinfeld fan.
Well, it's not that I'm not a Seinfeld guy. I just have not consumed enough Seinfeld. Like, if you were to start bringing up old episodes, it wouldn't ring a bell with me. I'm not anti-Seinfeld. I think Seinfeld's hilarious. Larry David, obviously, is a comedic genius. It's just, it's not in my wheelhouse like Married with Children.
Yeah, I understand. Well, again, I was going to bring up an old Seinfeld bit just because there was a... I snuck in as Julianne's cutting the peaches for the peach pie she's making, and I definitely stole some. And there's a moment in Seinfeld where George is having problems in the bedroom, and he ends up getting aroused by a piece of fruit. And I'm like, I know what he's thinking about right now. I know that.
Whatever does it for you, you know?
I'm just saying. It got me a little bit of pep in my step. Fresh.
I got you.
Georgia peaches.
There you go. They
are fantastic. We are on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, at Nick Kale. Kale is spelled K-A-Y-A-L. And, of course, the radio station is at 929 The Game. And we both have on our Twitter machines this next question, which I find rather fascinating, which you brought up to me as we were doing our preparations for the show. Is Matt Ryan the best active quarterback without a Super Bowl?
Yeah, and the thing that made me kind of trigger this thought process was all this talk this week with Cam Newton to the Patriots, and for the last 2 months, all we've heard about is Dak Prescott and a big contract possibly coming with the Cowboys. And I'm thinking about with Matt right now, and you just kind of compare him quickly to Cam Newton. They both had monster years as league MVPs. Both lost in the Super Bowl. Matt Ryan really should have a Super Bowl. We all know that. and then I'm looking at a couple of things. You know, just last year he was fifth in yards, eighth in touchdowns. He's not been below 66% completion since 2012. But looking at just the entire resume, and it's kind of snuck up on me, he's now 10th all-time in yards in the NFL, and he's going to pass John Elway in the month of September. He's 11th all-time in touchdowns. And at age 35, in a day and age where quarterbacks are playing more and longer than ever, I mean, if we think Matt has 3 to 5 above-average years left, I think he's a Hall of Fame lock. And I tried to put together, you know, maybe 10 to 12 guys in the league now that we could at least have a conversation with. And I think it really comes down to Matt Ryan against Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
And I don't know there's much more of a debate, but I figured we would kick it around and see what you think.
Yeah, Rivers, to me, is a victim of just being saddled with a bad franchise. If you want to hear somebody wax poetic about how little the San Diego / LA franchise spends and how, I guess, I don't want to say unfair to their players, but how not committed that franchise is to winning, hear Randy McMichael talk from 10 until 2 on an everyday basis, because he has gone on very, very eloquently and publicly about the fact that, yeah, he'd be surprised if that franchise ever won anything. The fact that they've only been to one Super Bowl in their lifetime, and that was in 94 when the Stan Humphries and that bunch got completely blitzkrieged by San Francisco. I think Rivers get a part of bad time, but again, I think, you know, with Cam, Cam has had a good franchise behind him, though. If you think about the way that it all ended for him, it all kind of came to an end by things kind of not necessarily due to his, it wasn't his fault because it was all injury related. And I think, you know, I'm very bullish on Cam in New England, but as far as Matt Ryan, he has a good franchise. He's got good franchise backing. He has good numbers. It's just the parts around him haven't always been there, whether it's, you know, the defense kind of falling asleep during the first 8 weeks of last season, Kyle Shanahan falling asleep during the second half of Super Bowl 51. I mean, it's always just kind of this one thing, and I very rarely think, like, because I think Phil Rivers, too, with his problems kind of sometimes, he throws some very bad interceptions, so I would say that from that standpoint, that might be a knock against him.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem saying that Matt Ryan's the best quarterback that doesn't have a Super Bowl, and I also have no problem saying that he's a Hall of Fame lock right now. I mean, there's nobody in the NFL who has played the quarterback position with worse stats than him, worse stats than him isn't in a Hall of Fame right now. Like he would have to be the biggest outlier of all when it comes to his numbers relative to those who are in the Hall of Fame and not. It would be the biggest outlier in any of the four major sports in terms of numbers and a guy not being enshrined in that sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and we're getting tweets now with some people saying Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson. And I'm a huge Deshaun Watson guy. I would probably say he's in the top 6 to 8 quarterbacks in the league. But at this point of his career, Deshaun Watson's biggest accolades still come from Saturdays, not Sundays. I mean, I'll give him all the credit in the world for what he did against Alabama 2 straight years. Lamar Jackson is recency bias to me. MVP, monster year. You can make the case second best quarterback in the league behind Mahomes, if not third, if you want to put Russell Wilson there. But get back to me when Lamar Jackson wins a playoff game. Yeah, right. I think Lamar Jackson's got all the talent in the world, but he's 0-2 in the playoffs.
The future with that franchise, with Baltimore, is very fascinating to me, because I'm wondering what their window is. Because the one thing that we always know about when it comes to the NFL's particular progression is that while defenses lag behind the offenses in terms of innovation, they always do catch up at some point. Like, I know, for example, the Wildcat, there were people who thought for the longest time that no one was going to be able to stop it. Within about a year and a half, it became non-existent. And so I'm wondering how long it takes defenses to catch up to some of these read option schemes and figure out just exactly how is the best way to neutralize that before something else comes up when it comes to the innovation standpoint. I'm wondering what that window is, and if, say, you know, Lamar has a down year or two, if they don't get a chance to possibly have a next step or a chance as good as they've had over the last couple of years to progress in the playoffs.
No, you're spot on. We've seen the league catch up, and it's a matter of you making adjustments. It becomes a chess match, and we saw that with RG3 with Washington. We saw that with Kaepernick to some extent as well, and you link in Kaepernick and Lamar Jackson together because of Greg Roman, who put that offense together in San Francisco for Cap. I think the question will be if Lamar can continue to evolve as a passer like Russell Wilson has. Like, I think Russell Wilson, you can make the case, is short of Mahomes, is the most talented quarterback in the league. Sure. Because he avoids taking hits. And I'm all for mobile quarterbacks, and I think you can win with a mobile quarterback. It's just being savvy enough to avoid the big hit and living to fight another day. And I think Lamar Jackson's probably going to prove a lot of people wrong. But, you know, through 2 years, the body of work is not there. So to me, you know, I think it's Matt Ryan. I mean, I understand the argument for Watson. I understand the argument for Lamar. I don't get the Goff love. I think he's a Sean McVay guy. I don't get the Jimmy Garoppolo love. I like Garoppolo more than Goff, but I think he's more of a Kyle Shanahan production than anything.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Goff or Garoppolo. And, you know, the thing about Russ is that, you know, there was a time that I would say for the first 6 weeks of the season where he didn't throw an interception, he was playing quarterback as well as anybody in the league. Like, yep. I thought he was going to be the MVP first 6 weeks of the season. That's why we know that the league is 16 weeks long and not, or at least 17 weeks long and 16 games long and not six. And it, from that point on, you know, things ended up going by the wayside. He threw an interception and a loss to Baltimore, threw a couple interceptions as well down the stretch of the season, and only threw five for the year. But for a while, he was throwing passes and completing games for them better than anybody in the league. So, yeah, I would say if you're looking at somebody who is the best of the mobile quarterbacks, I think it's Wilson is probably still the unquestioned number one, just based on the fact that he has not only the skins on the wall, so to speak, but also has the ability to, if he needs to use his arm, still use it. He's not beholden only to his legs.
Yeah, and now you throw in Mahomes, who's got a Super Bowl. I just think when we look at this exercise, it is very difficult for you to argue against Matt Ryan as the best quarterback without a ring and give me a guy without there being some pushback. I mean, if you want to give me Lamar, if you want to give me Rivers, I think there's a lot of pushback where you can refute that.
I don't think of Mahomes as much as a mobile quarterback. I mean, he's, again, only 218. Again, I'm not trying to expect, you know, Michael Vick type numbers here, but right. I mean, again, he only has 500 career rushing yards for his career. So it's not as if I'm looking at him the same way that I look at Lamar Jackson.
I think Mahomes is the greatest arm talent since Dan Marino.
Wouldn't dispute that. Dispute that at all. And it's funny, you know, I think so many people looked at him as a product of, you know, Cliff Kingsbury's air raid at Texas Tech, but
yep.
I think they were early. I mean, they were very early to this new wave, not only in college, but also the NFL. I mean, this is what everybody is doing. Now, they couldn't put together a defense to speak of when it comes to what they were doing down there in Lubbock. But mm-hmm. if you think about people who have innovated the way that we look at football, Cliff certainly gets credit, and that's part of the reason he got the job in Arizona.
And just wait until Lincoln Riley comes from Oklahoma to the NFL.
Boy, don't get me that.
It's going to happen. It should have happened with the Cowboys.
Understand it. Texter on the text line, you know, Lamar Jackson going through the typical stereotypes that Russell Wilson had to go through, that Cam Newton had to go through. again, Russell Wilson has overcome them, though. Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson has accolades. Russell Wilson has arm talent. I don't know if we can say that about Lamar Jackson yet over the course of the balance of a season.
My biggest question with Lamar, and he proved me a little bit wrong last year with the completion percentage going up, although they were very high percentage throws. My biggest question with him coming out of college was he was a sub-60% passer in college.
Right.
If you're not completing 60% on Saturdays, I find it hard to believe you could do that long-term on Sundays. But he proved me wrong last year. We'll see if he can do it again.
And that was a knock against Cam for a while, was his completion percentage, and he's still a below 60% passer for his career. Yep. But the last year that he basically was fully healthy and had a competent offensive coordinator in North Turner, he was near 70. So from that perspective, I look at that and say, that's part of the reason why I believe that he can be successful in New England. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll continue the poll question again. Is Matt Ryan the best active quarterback without a Super Bowl? That is on Twitter, at Willie P. Style and at Nick Kale. We'll come back. We had a chance yesterday to speak with one of the homegrown talents for Atlanta United, defender George Campbell. We ask him what the defense looks like now that they're in full form, getting ready for the Orlando MLS's back tournament, which you can hear right here on Sports Radio 929 The Game and Radio.com. Dukes and Bell, Willie P., Nick Kale in for the guys. Sports Radio 929 The Game. Coming up, we'll hear from George Campbell of Atlanta United in just a second, as we are 8 days away from Atlanta's first game in the MLS's back tournament against the New York Red Bulls. 8 p.m., you'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. A lot of reaction on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, including people who think that we're giving, you know, Lamar and Deshaun short shrift. And, of course, this has kind of become the thing, you know. I think people tried to argue, especially when you think about, you know, African-American quarterbacks, you know, are they looked at in a different microscope than their white counterparts? And, again, I'm not saying that. I'm very hard on the quarterback position as a whole. Like, for example, I'm not convinced Baker Mayfield's going to be a good NFL quarterback.
No, I think Baker Mayfield's all talk. I think Baker's just too immature.
Exactly. And I mean, I think, you know, Lamar Jackson, he had one season. We're talking one season. And yeah, he was the MVP, as people are saying in the comments. But yeah, one season. Year before that, he was a 58% passer. And yet, yes, he improved off his rookie season. We'll see what happens. Like, again, right. I feel like the premise of this question, is Matt Ryan the best active quarterback without a Super Bowl, has more to do with Matt Ryan's body of work. All these other guys people are mentioning, they don't have the body of work Matt Ryan does.
Well, I mean, Lamar Jackson has not won a playoff game. Now, he's only been a full-time starter for 1 year, so he's got plenty of time to, you know, amplify and increase his body of work. But, I mean, think about this. We're talking about Matt Ryan 10th all-time in yards passing. He is going to pass John Elway, who I think when we debate Mount Rushmore's of all-time quarterbacks, you can make the case that John Elway's on that list with Montana and Brady and Manning and Marino and guys of that ilk. So, again, I think it's the entire body of work. Like, I think Cam Newton can match Ryan, can match Matt Ryan with an MVP. He can match Matt Ryan with a Super Bowl loss. But where Cam loses me is the fall off since the Super Bowl run. Like, Cam, since 2015, is 23-23. His quarterback rating is 82. So he has been the definition of average 5 years removed from an absurdly good year. Whereas Matt Ryan at age 35, let's face it, he looks as good as he did 7 years ago.
And ability to stay on the field, I think, factors into that too, Nick. I mean,
yeah.
Matt Ryan's missed 3 games in his entire career. Cam Newton just came off of missing 14 games in a whole season. So, again, I think, you know, when you think about what Matt brings to the table in terms of these other quarterbacks, you won't have somebody having the kind of consistency that he has. And I know people are going to quibble with the interception number on Matt Ryan's ledger, but if your greatest competition on this question is Cam Newton, Matt has him stride for stride in spades.
Well, and also, too, you look at his, you bring up his career ledger, his touchdown to interception ratio is 321 to 147. That's about 2.5 to 1, almost 3 to 1. And if he scales back on interceptions and has another really good year this year, I mean, we're talking almost a 3 to 1 ratio.
Mm-hmm. It's an interesting conversation. We'll keep it going. Again, it's on Twitter, at Willie P. Style. Is Matt Ryan the best active quarterback with a Super Bowl? Again, at Willie P. Style, at Nick Kale. If not Matt, then who? 72% of you actually are in agreement with us and say that that is yes. Yesterday on Dukes and Bell, when I was sitting in for Mike alongside Carl Dukes, we had a chance to talk with Atlanta United defender George Campbell, the 19-year-old, one of the early homegrown signings for Atlanta United, and he was pressed into service earlier this year when the back third was very much compromised because of injury for the Five Stripes. First question to George was how he has dealt with this pandemic since things shut down back in March.
Everybody on the team is just, you know, trying to stay fit, train hard. Obviously, it's going to be difficult at first with the circumstances, but I think we're all doing a good job training hard and going at it every day.
George, you were kind of pressed into service almost in an emergency fashion given how much injury atrophy hit that back line. How were you able to keep your composure early on, getting some real key minutes early on in the MLS season to start the year?
Yeah, of course it was a little nerve-wracking. First game on, especially for the MLS debut in the stadium with 70,000 people, it was crazy. But once you get on the field, I feel like all the nerves go out the window. And you're just, you know, focused on the game. A lot of my teammates, friends gave me confidence before the game, as well as Frank on the sidelines. So really it was just, you know, the emotional part kind of just set aside, and I just started to focus right on the game. And obviously I've gotten a lot of opportunities, and hope to get some more.
It is George Campbell, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell as Atlanta United gears up to head down to Orlando from a safety concern. And George, I mean, you're young, bro. I mean, you're 20 years old. Maybe you think about this thing differently than older guys on the team, maybe like a Brad Guzan or someone like that, or maybe you don't. And I'm curious to know, how do you view the safety protocols and the procedures that they talk to you guys about, and are you a little bit scared?
Well, obviously, yeah, I'm not as experienced in the league, and I don't have that type of experience to know, you know, what the league's done in the past. But with this, from a personal standpoint, I mean, I think the league will be able to, once we get everything figured out, be able to keep us safe. And I think as long as we follow protocol and we, you know, practice social distancing, and, you know, I hope the virus won't spread. But at a personal standpoint, you know, I feel safe. I feel like we can go down there and, you know, listen to directions and try to, you know, follow the correct protocol and maybe even adjust the protocol and make it, you know, even better. So I think I feel safe, and I hope we can go down there and have a good time.
How close are you to another guy who came in as a homegrown player and somebody who is also in that defense group, George Bello? I know that we wanted to kind of see George shine, and also he had some injury concerns of his own as part of that depleted back line early in the season. But how much of a kinship do you feel with him as you guys kind of came up basically at the same time?
Yeah, me and him are really close. You know, he was one of my closest friends outside of the field as well as in the training ground. So he's a really good guy. We get along really well. We're always with each other. He's good for, you know, on the field and off the field jokes. Oh yeah, we have a really good relationship, and I hope that continues to grow.
George, what is Frank DeBoer stressing for you guys? And, you know, if it's not strategy, because every time you guys play someone different, that'll be different, and tactics and whatnot. But what is he trying to stress to you guys right now?
I think we're just trying to stay together as a team and try to really work hard in training. I think, you know, we're trying to motivate each other in training to get fitter. Obviously, other teams are going to be working hard just like us to get fit. And, you know, that's sometimes how teams play, you know, just to stay in the game through hard work and being fit and organized defensively. And we need to be able to, you know, keep up with them. So I think the fitness part and obviously how we play, we know how we play. We like to have the ball, possession. We like to dominate games. But I think coming back from such a long break, I think fitness is the main concern every team has, and I think we have that too.
George, I know not having number 7 out there is a hard thing to ignore, but you got to have to play through it. How much better do you feel about your plan as a back third and as a team, knowing you have to be able to score goals at this tournament in order to win, and the fact that you've now had the benefit of time to try and figure out a different plan as opposed to when Joseph got hurt, you guys kind of had to scramble a little bit.
Yeah, obviously it's a big loss, but there's no time for excuses. You know, we have a lot of strength up top. You know, we have a few new players like Castro and Mateus. So we have talent up there, and you know, as a back line and midfield, we have to do our job, and hopefully they can do their job. But I mean, as I said before, we're a whole team, and we're trying to come together and accomplish something better. So I think we'll be fine, and I think if we play as well as we can, then we'll get the win and we'll score goals.
Hey, last thing for you, as George Campbell joins us from Atlanta United here on Dukes and Bell. What did you do? What occupied your time during this time off and, you know, being at home? What were you doing every day?
Well, that's a good question. It hasn't been too much activity, of course, not as much as it was before. But when it was first kicking off, I was doing school, but that class ended. I actually just signed up for a new one. I picked up a book, you know, cooked a little more, spent a lot of time on FaceTime with friends, and, you know, just tried to stay inside as much as possible and not, you know, spread the virus. But, other than that, you know, it's been tough to find stuff to do. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah. Can you get down with the sticks at all there, George, like, Franco Escobar does? Do you play FIFA at all or no?
I'm more of a Call of Duty person.
I got you. I hear you, man. Well, you know what? We're glad that we're going to get a chance to see you guys, like we said, back on the pitch. Be safe, and we look forward to watching you here in a few weeks, George. So thanks again for jumping on the show, bro.
All right, no problem. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.